I'm excited about going into the Word of the Lord this morning and just sharing what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart, and I believe that God is going to help us. Amen. Welcome to the most wonderful time of the year. And it is wonderful because we've already settled that it can be. We chose this. We chose happiness. We chose joy. We prepared for this season so that we could walk in armed and ready to experience all that God has for us. But I really enjoy Christmas time, as busy as it can be, as hectic and as sometimes chaotic and crazy as it can be. I really do enjoy the hustle and the bustle. For many, many years, I've always gone to a mall on Christmas Eve, just a glutton for punishment. I don't know why, but just something about being in the crowds of people, something about being around those that had waited till the last minute and were trying to get that final gift or do something. It's always fun to me. But I've also learned through the years how much I enjoy preaching the season of Christmas. It really is the perfect story. It's incredible, the story of Jesus' birth and story of Jesus' life and why he came and the difference that he made in the hearts of people who followed him, and of course still changing lives. So this year and this season and the opportunities that I have to preach over the next couple of weeks, it's all about Christ. I want to preach to you about Jesus. I want to preach to you about Christ and do everything that I possibly can to make him famous, to make him bigger than he's ever been. I love what David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." It's not a matter of God getting any bigger. He's as big. It's me seeing him bigger. It's him being magnified in my mind. So let me read Luke chapter 9 today, beginning at verse number 18. Luke 9 and verse 18, and it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" So they answered and said, "John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." I want to preach today about the Christ of God. And just, I know you know who he is, but I just want to remind you of how beautiful this truth is. Jesus asked the question first, who are the crowds saying that I am? What's the buzz out there? What's the press? What are they talking about out there? What are they saying on the streets? What are they saying in the marketplace? What are the crowds saying about me? It's interesting to me because the opinions of others are important up to a point. I like getting feedback. I appreciate getting others' takes on any kind of an idea. I like getting others' thoughts on the things that I am processing. But we are living in a time where everything is governed by opinion. And the problem is that they're not informed opinions. Everything is governed by opinion. Opinion is so grand right now. Opinion has such a premium. Now it's not the truth, it's your truth or my truth. It's just an opinion. What is my opinion on the matter? Everyone is running from the facts. I thought it was interesting. I was looking at our church Facebook page just in the last few days and noticed that our review rating, that means people go and review us. Our rating is 3 out of 5. Man, I was so mad. Like, what in the world? Why are we 3 out of 5? What is going on? And I know there's all kinds of factors and things that play into that. But if I let it, the opinion of others could drive me crazy. What others are saying could get me all in my feelings and get me thinking all kinds of crazy thoughts, because, you know, the truth is never going to be told. The things like they love everyone, they care about our kids, they take care of widows, they feed the hungry. People just, they get an opinion in their mind. They get something in their craw, and now everyone is going to social media and making their voice to be heard. We're living in cancel culture where my opinion rules everything else. And incidentally, you can help us with that rating. You can go and give your own rating. You can go and do that 5-star thing that would raise that up and help that out. So you can do that if you want. But people's opinion, the opinions about Jesus are all over the place. The crowd is all over the map. It's this frenetic faith, if you will. It's just wild. It's chaotic. It's crazy. Everyone has their idea. Everyone has their thought about it. Everyone has their opinion about who Jesus is and what it is that he is doing. But hear me today. I want to get this concept across to you that the church is greater than the crowd. I know the crowd is out there. I know the crowd is talking. I know people are discussing and reviewing and they're posting and they're talking. But the church is always going to be greater than the crowd. And I also understand that the church is made up of people from the crowd. But hear me, there's an important missing step between crowd and church, and that is called the committed. The committed. You have the crowd, the people that are on the periphery. And the thing that makes the difference is commitment. We start in the crowd. We start hearing about, oh, have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard he's good? Have you heard he can work? Have you heard this? We hear and something piques our interest. Something calls us. Something grabs our attention. And then we become committed to Christ, and we rise up out of that commitment as the church. We rise up as an army of believers. Hear me. Don't stay in the crowd. Don't let this be something that you just do on occasion. Don't keep church in that thought that's, you know, I'm just going to keep that for when I really get in trouble, when things are not going the way I need them to go. Then I'll run to church and I'll get out of trouble. No, become committed and become a part of the church and live this life every single day. Church is greater than the crowd. And the church keeps turning the other cheek while the crowd walks all over us. When are we going to rise up? When are we going to take our place? When are we going to take our stand? Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Hear me today. This isn't a new fight, and this isn't the last fight. This fight has been going on for a long time. We've been waging this war for a long time, and it's not about to end. It's not going to end until he comes riding in on the clouds of glory. So we have to keep fighting. We have to stay diligent. We have to continue to be committed and to live as though this could be the very day that he returns again. Because believe it or not, this isn't Democrat or Republican. This isn't black or white. This isn't vaccinated or unvaccinated. This is crowd versus church. Five stars. He's a confident Christ, though it's hard for me to believe that Jesus really cared what the crowds thought. After all, this is the man who called the Pharisees, who were the religious royalty and rulers of his day, he called them vipers in public. Doesn't sound like a man who's worried about his ratings. That doesn't sound like someone who's concerned with what the crowds think. The press is interesting. But what I really want to know, Jesus says, is who do you say that I am? I want to know what you say about me. I want to know who I am to you. I realize today that what we hear from others is always going to play a part. It's always going to influence us to some degree. What you hear from others affects you much more than others. Some just don't care what anybody thinks, but what we hear is always going to affect us to some degree. After all, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Hearing who? Hearing what? That's why we have to make sure that we are hearing the right people. I've been encouraging you to read for yourself and to study to show yourself approved. Hear me, but I also want you to check me. I appreciate the respect you give me every Sunday that I'm in this pulpit and you take my word for it. But I hope I've shown you by now that I'm committed to the word and being in the word and teaching the word and not my opinion and not just what I think or my own interpretation. I want to preach Christ. I want to preach who he is, because I hear him asking this question: who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? And when answering Jesus' question, I believe it comes down to evidence and experience. When answering the question, who do you say that I am, it's informed by evidence and experience. Hear me today. There is absolutely evidence that trumps opinion. There is evidence that beats opinion all day long. I realize that nowadays they are deconstructing faith. And you know what I say? You can tear this apart. You can rip pages from the Bible. You can turn it all inside out. But when you get through, he's still going to be God. And his word will never be a lie. I have the evidence. And when you have the evidence, man, it brings a different level of confidence. It brings a different level of authority. It brings a different level of strength when you have the evidence. That's all you need. You need to decide and prove that God is real in your life. There's at least three people this last week that you couldn't tell them that God is not a healer. No, someone that had a lump over here and someone that had a lump over there. Somebody was on their deathbed having a stroke and them trying to revive them back to life. You can't tell them because they have the evidence. They know that God is a healer. They know that God is a way maker. I have the evidence, but I've also got an experience. I can tell you where I was. I can tell you what I was doing. I can tell you everything about my experience. And I'm so thankful for the experience that I have had in the Lord. If you're struggling to answer this question today, who is Jesus to you? All you really need to settle that and to solve that is your own experience. I'm happy to hear your testimony. Your testimony blessed me. The testimony of those three people blessed me this week. But I want my own story of his goodness. I want my own story of his faithfulness. I want my own story of his healing. I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. It's evidence and it is experience. I love as Jesus continues this conversation. Matthew 16, 17, 18, and 19. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Before he became Peter, he was Simon Bar-Jonah. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Meaning this did not come from someone else's opinion. You didn't get this from the crowd. You didn't get this revelation from hearing others talk. My father. Gave you this revelation. He revealed this to you. You see, the Bible says that no man comes to God except the Spirit draws him. And because you know me, Peter, because you know who I am now, I am going to know you in a deeper way. I'm going to get involved in your life. I'm going to use that revelation and that understanding. And we're going to see Peter throughout the rest of the New Testament. We're going to see Peter in the book of Acts. We're going to see Peter talking and showing those keys and rattling those keys about how to get to heaven and repent and all of that. We're going to see Peter holding those keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Listen, God loves everyone, but the church is greater than the crowd. A church is greater than the crowd. So wait a minute, that flies in the face of modern, popular, pop culture theology. God is not a respecter of persons. He loves everyone just the same. Listen, God absolutely is a respecter of commitment. That's why the crowd is less than the church. The church is greater than the crowd because he respects commitment. And here's what I've learned. He's going to build the church according to our answer to that question. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? You see, I feel drawn to Mas Christ. Help me, Jaime. Am I saying that correctly? Mas Christ, more Cristo. My Espanol is muy poquito. But I'm being drawn to more Christ. Because in this season, less isn't an option. In this season, uncommitted doesn't work. In this season, unfaithful just will not cut it. Quit? You're crazy. There's no way I'm quitting. Why? Because of evidence and experience. Because I have the evidence. And I also have an experience with the Lord. Hallelujah. Who do you say that he is? Who is he in your life? Who is he in your heart? Ah, I know the crowds are talking, guys. I know there's mixed opinions. I know some love me and some hate me. I know there are those that want to follow and there's those who want to crucify. The crowds, they're going to be the crowd. But what I'm trying to do is build a church. And it comes down to this, to build the church. Who am I to you? Who do you believe me to be? Hallelujah. I don't know what you may be facing today. I don't know what you may be dealing with in your life. I don't know what may be happening in your world. But hear me, God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to have evidence, and he wants you to have an experience. You may be sitting here saying, you know what? Now that you mention it, Pastor Darrell, I don't have my own evidence. I've taken someone else's word for it my entire life. I've never had this revelation. I've never read the word and just received a revelation of who he is. Let me challenge you. As we prepare for 2022, I know it sounds hard to believe, but yeah, it's around the corner. Let me challenge you to get a Bible reading program. There's all kinds out there that make it so easy. About 10, 12 minutes a day, you can read. You can read, and after 1 year, you will have read through the entire Bible. There's some parts of it that are, this Leviticus, this is hard reading. I understand. Deuteronomy, yeah, it can be hard reading, but you're going to read, and you're going to learn things, and you're going to see things, and you're going to come out of that experience, and you're going to say, you know what, I've got evidence. I've seen this for myself. And now I can answer the question. I know who you are to me. You are the Christ of God. You're the Christ. Father, I thank you. I thank you for helping us today. I thank you for speaking to us today. I thank you for your word that builds and blesses our lives. I thank you, Lord, that while there are people in this room, there are people watching online who are in a season of struggle, in a season of pain, in a season of difficulty, that you, Lord, are our help. And you've not left us to go search this for ourselves or to try to find this answer for ourselves. You want to reveal yourself to us. You want us to know who you are. You want us to experience you. So I pray today for every single person that is hungry for the evidence. Every person that is hungry for the experience, that you would be just that. That you would reveal yourself, that you would show yourself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may be in this room today and you say, Pastor Darrell, I need an experience. I come to church. I show up, but I don't know that it's ever gotten inside of me. I don't know that I've ever graduated from crowd to church. Today is the day you can move the tassel and you can graduate from crowd to church. I want you to just pray with me today and believe with me today. It's what Romans 10 says, that if I will confess him with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'll confess and I'll believe that something powerful happens in my life. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I want the evidence. I want the experience. I want to be a part of your church. Forgive me of my sin. Change my mind. Turn my thoughts, my emotions toward you. I thank you for an experience with your Spirit, baptism of your power and your presence in my life. In Jesus' name, I receive that gift. Amen. 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 Can we give the Lord a hand today for people? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all about to sing Jireh again? I like it. Let's do it. Let's do it. If you want to pray today, if you want to spend a few moments, I'm happy to pray with you today. I'm happy to stand with you and believe with you this morning. Altar that's open and available for anybody that needs the healing, the help of the Lord, that wants an experience. In Jesus' name, Jireh, you are enough.
Oh, you are enough. Take charge.